Nothing much has changed in some of these nations. Smoky Mountain 2, still there perhaps. Maybe more organized in the scavenging work. But if you do go visit, please let me know. Yeah, 14 years on, are we still asking the same questions? Can I have the PowerPoint right now? Thank you. Are we still asking the same questions? Yeah, maybe just take a moment right now. Think about the images that you have just seen, the words that you have just heard. Yeah, we're still grappling with the same challenges today, if not more. Here in the Singapore society, your O levels, A levels, now we have the IB program, which JC, Poly, university to choose from, more courses that you can study, what gadgets to buy, the iPhone X, Google Home, what to watch on Netflix, what food to eat, whom to marry. Same questions, right? Will these be the same questions that we ask today, 14 years on? Would it be? These are questions that you ask. And I don't know if you remember the narrator who said, I don't know why I was born in Singapore. And 14 years on, we still don't have the answers to the world's problem. But perhaps the solution is the same, that we can follow Christ, forsook his heavenly place, coming here on earth to live as men. And the Son of God, who came from heaven, came down, healing the sick, sorrowful, the sad, giving them the message of joy, of salvation, of healing. My name is Li Shan. Christina reminded me that, told me that she forgot to introduce my name, but I think that's not that important. I think I prefer to be someone who is nameless. And I grew up here in Coos, saved here when I was 17 years old. And I'm now 39 years old. So I was saved in the year 1996. And maybe some of you were not born then. So this church, the youth service, is where I grew up. Some of the young people that are seated here are familiar faces. And how I came to Coos was just a simple gospel sharing from a secondary school friend. And basically she told me what heaven and hell was, and I got scared into actually coming to Christ. And for the last 11 years of growing up in the Coos youth ministry, and then being sent out from this church 11 years ago to go to Timor. And looking back, if you were to ask me, would I have done things differently? I think my answer would be I will not trade anything of this world to do what I'm doing right now. Because choosing to go to a culture that is so different, and perhaps like the images that you saw just now, people who have nothing to offer you, and sometimes us going there thinking that we are helping, sometimes I end up being helped in return. And that's where I have truly, truly found Christ. And doing missions, local or cross-cultural, is not about pitying other people or even elevating ourselves above them. But it's about knowing God and experiencing the fullness of God together in the midst of the people. And you talk about, we sing songs like every nation, every tribe, every tongue. You know, just now as we were worshipping, you know, can you imagine yourself standing in the midst of the multitudes, people from different tribes, different tongue, and just worshipping God? And that's how heaven is going to be like. People from every tribe, every nation. And for myself, being in Timor, worshipping God with a culture and a people so different from myself gives me that glimpse of heaven here on earth. And right now I'll invite Louis to come up on stage together with Eusebio. Louis is a young man. Well, no longer a very young man. And we have known him. for many years, and he has come to work together, to live together, do life together with our team, our Singaporean team over there. So, yeah.
Okay, guys, we're going to get... Hi, this is Louis. So everyone say hi. Yeah, so Louis is actually going to share his story about how he came to know Christ and Cocoon as well. So just be asking him a few questions as well. Louis, maybe you want to introduce yourself to everyone here?
Okay. Hi, I'm Luis. I'm 31 years old. I am from East Timor. Okay.
So, Luis, you want to tell everyone why you're here now?
Okay. Now I'm going to tell you about my life when I was 15 to 20, 25. Okay. When I didn't know Jesus, I feel that my life is very terrible. Because every night, I never go home at night. So I just went out with my friends, going to somewhere to drink, smoke. Sometimes I'm going to fight with some groups in a different group. It's like a martial arts, because I'm also in the past I'm also the part of martial arts. That's what sometimes I'm also going to fight everywhere. After that, the next some of my friends come to my house and call me to go to fight. And I go with them and I hit someone, almost die, and I take my knife to kill, and the man was run to police office. Then I beat up him from my house to police office. And then after that, the police catch me. And police, I went to police office. Well, sorry.
The jail.
For one night. And after that, I came. The next day, I'm very stressful because I feel that what I have done is very bad. Yeah. After that, I ask my friend, Franz, he is my cousin, and he also the part of group, and I ask because he is a very different life from the past. One day I call him to came to my house, and I asked him, Franz, now you are very different from the past. And he said that no ways to choose. We have to learn what we want. And then I asked him that for this month, what you learn, can you tell me? And he said that I just study about the Jesus Christ. Yeah, I study about the Jesus Christ, and I asked him, may I go with you? I want to try this part. And he said that, oh, up to you. You want to go? Okay, just go. Yeah. And then the next day I tried to go with him, and I go to Cocoon to learn about the English, but while I'm also trying to learn about Bible, Jesus Christ. After that, I tried to learn more, but sometimes I'm very stressful about my life. I'm very stressed because sometimes I worry about my life. How come my life is like that? Yeah.
So why do you choose eventually to follow Jesus?
I choose the way to follow Jesus because I saw the France life is very different than me. That's why I try to choose this way to study more and more and to change my life, what I have done in my past.
You have a particular verse, right?
Yeah. When I start study Bible, I saw the words from the John 14, verse 6. Jesus said that, I'm the way and the truth. I'm the way and the truth. No one's come to my Father except through me. This word is kept my heart, and I make the decision to follow Jesus. Yeah.
So after following Jesus, what do you think are the differences in your life compared to the past?
I think it's very different. When I follow Jesus, I compare with my past. It's very different. Because when I follow Jesus, I feel that, I'm very calm because I'm the angry man. Yeah, sometimes when I walk everywhere, I'm very angry. So all of you can see my face is it's like an angry man. Okay, that's why when I study the Bible, I feel that it's very calm and no more stressful because Jesus is remind me and how to give the forgiveness to other friends or friends and everyone. Sometimes I get angry, but I quickly to forgive who I'm angry with. That's all.
So in conclusion, you know, knowing that Jesus is your Savior, what are your hopes and dreams for your future?
My hope, now I want to give my all life to Jesus because He is the one, is my life. Yeah.
Thank you. I think, guys, you really just want to appreciate Franz. He's a man usually of few words, but I think today he took a lot of courage in sharing with you guys as well.
Thank you, Louis.
But I'm sorry, my English is very bad.
Okay. Louis is here on a 3-month English course together with another staff of ours. And the evidence of a transformed life. He wore his long sleeves today to hide his tattoos. So you can show him. Ask him to show you what he has. So you see, I am a very nerdy Singaporean and out of the system and coming into contact with this Timorese gangster. How else can it happen but God? But God. Yeah, so I think in the midst of interacting together, I think there is such a richness in knowing what the kingdom of God actually is. And Louis mentioned he works in Cocoon, and that is the name of our organization that we started over there. So 11 years ago, Siu Lee and myself, who both of us grew up, were from this youth ministry, and we went over there to start this organization called Cocoon. So basically we teach English to young people, and Louis and two of my other staff who are on their way here, they are together with us on our teaching team, and we also have a kindergarten that we have started 3 years ago, and we also have a house church where we worship every Sunday. So coming back to this big sanctuary and worshiping with Christians with the tongue that I grew up in. It's an experience that, that just makes my heart really overflow, once again. So even as we move on, I would like to share more stories. And the video that you watched just now, I had the privilege to shoot and edit, that video 14 years ago. And Mickey Sampson is a man that I met in Cambodia. And he's American. And he's a chemistry professor. So he gave up his lecturing job in the university and went to Cambodia to do a multitude of things, such as a water project. and they were the first ones who actually imported emus. You know, the big bird from Australia? New Zealand? I'm not sure. Yeah, with the very big egg, where one egg can feed a whole village. They have a mass media program where they produce programs that are on television teaching hygiene and health and various things. And so his work also, one of the key things that he actually did for the Cambodian government was, he's a chemistry professor, right? So he used the skills that God equipped him with to come up with test kits that will test water, the different kinds of water very quickly. And in different villages, water is contaminated with arsenic. And you drink it long enough, it leads to death. So they've come up with a very simple filtration system and all those kind of things to help the Cambodian people. So he's someone who really showed me what being competent really means and using those skills for the kingdom. And while collecting info about him for this message, that I found out that he had actually passed away suddenly in 2009. From a suspected heart failure. So at that time, when he passed away, he had spent 11 years in Cambodia, and he left behind a legacy of faith and love. And his life lives on. And in Singapore, we are truly, truly blessed with a very excellent education system. And can you imagine the things that you can possibly do when you lay down your life to say that, yeah, God used my skills to serve you, use my skills wherever that you will send me. And maybe we were born for such a time as this. For such a time as this. And people call this generation the millennials, and I don't know what other terms, but I think never before in the history of the world has a generation been so creative, so good with technology and a lot of other things, so mobile in your travel. So, to whom much has been given, much is required. And we ask, I don't know what you feel after watching those two clips. So, where do you even begin? And for myself, having the privilege of going before, I can only tell you that the further I walk in this cross-cultural journey of being a cross-cultural missionary, I think is the most authentic way to follow Christ for myself. And I think we can be rest assured that God's plans will always be carried out in every person, whatever that He calls you to do. And I think young people these days have this term called FOMO, right? Is this still in use? FOMO? Fear of missing out. And I don't know what you feel after watching those things or hearing the things that are being done by other people or people in other countries and all that. But my prayer would be you will also be FOMO about this, that you fear that there's this great fear of missing out of what God has in store for this generation. And perhaps I'll just invite you to close your eyes right now, and I will read from Matthew 25. And I want you to imagine with me as these words are read to you. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And then the king will answer them, Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of this, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Young people, you are not your own. You were bought at a very, very great price. The last song that you sang about Jesus being on the cross. And perhaps what it means to play a part in the work of God means starting where you are. What we have just read and just heard are there people around you who are hungry. Physical hunger, spiritual hunger. What can you give to them? Are there people around you who thirst? What can you give to those? Is there a newcomer in church today who may appreciate a friend? Is there someone with a physical need who is sick, feeling sad? Can you meet that need? I don't think it's too hard. And if you know the God that we say we believe in, who Jesus is, how then should we live? And like I mentioned just now, I've had the privilege of crossing cultures, doing life with people who are very different. I will just share a few personal stories. I was born in 1979, and the people, I see some older folk here, will be familiar and will remember this was a campaign in the 1970s in Singapore. And this was a campaign, a family planning campaign, to telling families to stop at two. Good or boy, two is enough. Right? So many people in the born in the 1970s, which I am part of, have very small families. So I only have an older brother who is 6 years older than myself. If you think about it, 6 years is a long gap. And the truth is that my mom had two miscarriages between my older brother and I. So if I were to imagine that if the older siblings were to be born, I wouldn't be here today. I don't know where I'll be. Yeah, so knowing that my life is not an accident. During the times of Moses, Jesus, there were genocides that were happening. And this is because, you know, the devil doesn't like God's children. And they will do, and he will do whatever to kill them. So my friends, if you are here sitting alive today, I want you to know that you are not an accident. You are alive today that because God has a plan for you. Turn to your neighbor and tell him or her, you are not an accident. And then turn to the other side saying, God has a plan for you. In Exodus, the king of Egypt telling the Hebrew wives, yeah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it's a son, you shall kill him. If it's a daughter, you shall live. So this was the king of Egypt trying to kill Moses. And if you imagine, all the boys will be dead. This is almost like genocide, killing half of the population, which will lead to eventual the whole tribe will be annihilated, gone. Yeah, half of the population. In the times of Jesus, again, the wise man had defied Herod's instructions to inform him of Jesus' birth. So he was very angry. So this is what he did. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise man, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise man. So killing of children, killing of lives is not something that is new. Mass killings. So statistics, about one third or one quarter of babies are aborted in Singapore every year. And these are statistics from year 2000 onwards. Who in this auditorium, you're born in 2000 and below? Eh? Above. Yeah, born in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, raise your hands and beyond. You look at your friends, every third person or fourth person could have been aborted. Just imagine that. Okay? If this is not genocide or mass killing, I don't know what it is. And so, really, you are not an accident and God has a plan for your life. And the devil is not very creative and there's nothing new, just the form. Perhaps the onslaught today is much greater. Suicide rates, stress, the battles for your hearts and for your minds, the distractions. So I really don't know where your journey is in your faith. And some of you perhaps have had a head start in life coming from Christian families. So young people, I want you to know today that do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Nor me as a prisoner. These are Paul's words. Yeah, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. You are saved. You have a holy calling. Expect great things from him. What qualifies us in this holy calling? Is it Bible school? Is it being a cell leader? What does the verse say? What qualifies us? Only God's own purpose and grace. So he is the initiator of all these things. And in the last few weeks, you have been hearing different sermons about from the life of Paul, meeting, encountering Jesus and being radically changed. And knowing that the days of our lives are numbered and the need to do what is important. Let's go to this other verse. It is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Yeah, but perhaps you cannot see, hear, or fathom, but God has prepared something. What is the qualifying factor over here? What God has prepared for you, what qualifies you to receive that? For those who love him. Okay, to love is to give. For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave. Do you love God? Yeah, it's very easy to say we love him when our life is normal. How many of you think you lead a normal life? Normal? What do you consider normal? Yeah, what is normal? Okay, let me tell you what is normal, yeah? Let's look at the next slide. Let's look at these statistics. This is what actually is normal. In Singapore, we are actually very abnormal. Yeah? One in every four persons live without electricity. Yeah, in 2015, how many people, they still lack basic water services? And how do you cook? The way that we cook is actually not normal. The fact that we have running water through our taps is actually not normal. Perhaps you have been born for such a time as this. 2 Kings 24:8. This king was 18 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. So an 18-year-old led a whole nation. Who is 18 years old here and above? Do you know that you can lead nations? Yeah. Henry VIII became the King of England at 18 and reigned till his death. William Wilberforce, the guy who abolished slavery in England, became a member of parliament when he was 21 and still a student. Our very own Lee Kuan Yew, in his early 20s, realized that Singapore couldn't counter the British and came back at the age of 26 to run the country. And perhaps our society and culture has very low expectations of young people today. And I'm not sure if this is right. You're expected to do well in school, get a job, don't mess up, lead a normal life. And once in a while, you meet people like myself who have gone out, or people who have led very different lives, and you go, wow, you know. But I want to tell you that missions or serving the poor or serving God in different ways is not a standard that is too high. And I want to suggest to you that this is actually the norm and should be the norm, because this is what Jesus has shown us to be truly alive. Yeah, today, I hope something has stirred in your spirit, wanting to do something more for the glory of God. Jesus didn't set the bar high. He showed us what is normal. And his death and resurrection gave us the power and the courage to do the same. He tells us, whoever believes in me will do works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus' last words to his disciples were this: they will do even greater things than these. What are the greater things that we, his children, are able to do with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? I'll end off with this quote from Amy Carmichael. And it says, "No one can give without loving, but one cannot love without giving." We talk about loving God. What are you giving to God today? To love is to give. And giving always involves obedience. Today happens to be the day that Timor goes to the polls to choose their government. The country has been in a state of voting who, literally. Yeah, and today, like right now, as we, right now, the polling stations have closed and they are probably counting the votes right now. Will you choose this day whom you will serve? Just like them, choosing this day whom will govern them today. Would you choose? I invite you to close your eyes, quieten down your hearts. Can I invite the worship team to come? Many, many years ago in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, he told the children of Israel to choose whom they will serve. In life, we have to make choices. Moment by moment, day by day. Who will you choose today? Would you ask God to show you himself? Who is this Jesus? I want you to put your hand to your heart. Ask God to give you his heart. The things that make him weep. the things that compel him to touch someone who is sick. Yeah, for people who, if today you feel this tug in your heart and you want to recommit yourself to the purposes of God, whether being in your school, in your family, your church community, your cell group, yeah, today you want to say, God, what is the greater thing that you want me to do today? Love is a verb. A verb is an action word. I'm going to give all of us a challenge today. I'm going to make a second call. And this call is only for people who are serious, because it's going to be tested. I remember when I was in my 20s, I came up to this altar and answered a call. A call that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. I'm going to give a call for long-term missions. Beeling came a few weeks ago and she talked about the legacy. The legacy of Kuz. The legacy of the youth. Will you give yourself to redig? Redig the wells that have been choked up. Look for the wells of life that have been forgotten. When you make a vow to God, God doesn't forget. He didn't forget mine. I was in that corner, right there. No one is going to pray for you. This is going to be your transaction with God. Yeah, if you are serious, come. Come. Let this not be spiritual enthusiasm, because it will die. But let it be something deep. But responding to that call, choosing, is something that is necessary. Today God is saying, choose this day whom you will serve. I don't know how this long-term call to missions will look like. If there's this desire even to just say, God, I don't really know what it is, but I want to come out. Could be a year, could be two, or a lifetime. You don't know at this moment, but you really, really desire God to work in you. He will honor that. He will honor that. And you will keep encountering Him again and again and again. And God will not let you go. Sometimes your youth leaders will be busy, pastors will be busy, but God does not forget. And He will not let you go. He is faithful. And He will fulfill what He has started in you. Father, you see these burning hearts. These hearts that are yearning for greater things that they will see in their lives. God, I pray that you set every one of them on fire. Literally burn. Burn and burn and burn. That the world will see their lives as a sign and a wonder for you.
May the Lord seal what He has done in your heart this day.
At the start of this worship, the Lord gave someone here with a vision. And the vision was an anchor thrown onto the sand itself without any link to any ship. And this is what the Lord's word says to you, to those who are here in front now. The Lord sees your where you are, and He's going to remove the anchor of your life and now move it you out to the sea. And wherever the anchor, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, moves you to, He will drop the anchor and make you prosper wherever you are. So be assured the Lord will bring you to where the shore, where the sea, where the ship will go to.
So those who have responded, it's not just about doing great things for God. Before you step out of the harbor, God is going to do something deep in your hearts, as He already has. And He will empower you for everything that He calls you to do, because He's a good Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for every person whose hearts are so stirred, whether it is to go out into the harvest field, out of the country, or even just to do something for the friend next to them in school. Father, I thank You that You have sent us with such a great purpose, because You are a great God and You are worthy of it all. So I pray for every heart that has been stirred today, that it will not be anchored by emotions or anchored by the moments that this today carries, but it will be anchored upon Your word, anchored upon Your voice, anchored upon their obedience to You, anchored on Christ. That it will be a conviction that does not change, because You are a God who does not change. I pray that they would come to develop that faithful character that looks like Yours. And we know that You are a faithful God. You will cause the fire in them to keep burning. And You will be the one who will see them through. God, I thank You that You have blessed us as a nation and as a youth to be a blessing to others for such a time as this. Open our eyes to see the people that we can give to, the people they have called us to. It's not just about going on a trip once a year or doing something, wow, so amazing to other people. But let us be faithful in little things, in things that people cannot even see, to simply someone that You have called us to reach. Help us to be faithful to Your call. And before we end off today's service, we want to pray for Timor. So I'm going to get Bio to lead us in prayer, and Louis will stand in proxy.
Louis will stand on proxy of his nation. So let's just stretch out our hands to him. He will represent Timor. And even as we bless him, we also represent how Singapore blesses Timor. Dear God, we thank You for this nation, God. We thank You, Lord, for the destiny, Lord, that Timor-Leste has, God. We thank You for her youth, for her vibrancy, Lord. And even, Lord, even though she has gone through so much pain and suffering, God, God, we know You redeem all these things, God. Lord, You are a father to the orphan, God. And even as an orphan nation, God, You have been her father, God. You have always been watching over her, guiding her, Lord. Seeing the good, Lord, of her, Lord. And seeing her generations grow, Lord. Lord, right now I want to speak blessings onto the land, God. That, God, You heal the land, Lord, where there is brokenness, Lord, where there is pain, Lord. Where war has fractured communities, people, God. God, You bring healing to these areas, God, and You bring restoration, Lord. You continue to shape, Lord, and mold the nation, Lord, be it education, business, Lord, law, Lord. We pray, Lord, for leaders, Lord, leaders, local leaders, Lord, who will stand for their people, God. God, even tonight, Lord, even for their elections, God, we just want to pray over their government, Lord. Lord, a government, Lord, who will love the things that You love, God. A government who will love mercy, God. A government, Lord, who will take a stand against corruption, God, and do the right things for their people, God. God, we pray, Lord, this blessing, Lord, of good governance over Timor, Lord, that, Lord, just as You have showered us with such blessings, God, that You provide them, Lord, too, with a group of people, Lord, who will love just the way You love them, God. God, I pray for the people. I pray for the young generation, God. The people who have grown up, Lord, seeing war, perhaps, even in the eyes of their parents, their grandparents. But God, I pray they represent a new hope, a new future, God. And God, we want to declare that destiny over them, Lord, that they will be the new game changers, Lord, that they will be the ones to usher in a new period, Lord, for Timor. We pray, Lord, for Louis. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the destiny of his life, Lord, even as he has chosen to follow you, Lord. May many others be like him, Lord, that they will choose you as well, Lord, and they will rise up, Lord, in whatever spheres, Lord, that you have destined them to be in. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, for your hand to be upon this nation. You continue to guide her, even as she is young, Lord. You continue to shape, Lord, the policies, the people. That most importantly, God, Timor will be a nation that follows after you, God. God, we break down the idols, Lord, that are in the land, Lord. We break down animism. We break down a spirit of apathy, Lord, a spirit of laziness, Lord, not wanting to do anything, God. We speak against all these things, Lord, and instead, Lord, we speak your spirit, Lord, to be upon this people, Lord, to change them, Lord, to love you more and more each and every day, God. And God, I pray, Lord, that even as we represent Singapore, God, I pray, Lord, that we too, Lord, will be that blessing, Lord, because you have blessed us so much, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless Timor in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Come, let's give a praise giving to God. Service is over, but before we go, shall we just thank Lee Shan and also Louis for coming to share with us?
Just a quick word to those who have responded. Journal. Write down what happened this night. Yeah, and keep going back to it.
Thank you, Lee Shan. Okay, on that note, you guys are dismissed from here. See you next week for youth service. Bring a friend with you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.